Good morning, everyone. We are going to get started, and then we have a number of members that will be coming in shortly. But the agenda for today is there's a number of local pieces of legislation that we're going to take up. And then what we'll do is we want to include in the omnibus education bill will lay on the table, and so we won't necessarily we can probably, if we have enough members for a majority, we can take a vote, but otherwise we'll just lay them on the table for possible inclusion into the education finance bill. So we'll get started, and I think we'll start with Senator Frederickson, who's here. And I know there's several members that have legislation that have people from, have driven quite a distance. So welcome, Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you very much. I have with me the superintendent from Ballaton Schools. Ballaton's about 12 miles west of Tracy, to kind of give you some perspective of where it's located at. And Senate File 2514 would allow the school district of Ballaton to transfer $70,000 from their capital expenditure account to their general fund. That's very simply what the bill would do. And Superintendent Damagala will give you some more details on why they want to do this and what the effect on the capital expenditure account will be.
Okay, thank you, Senator Frederickson. Superintendent, if you can give us a little background on your district.
Well, Ballaton's, like I mentioned, a small district with declining enrollment, and we're paired 7 through 12 with Tracy for education. And we're going through the adjustments in staff and so forth to handle this change in educational placement of the students. And for the 2007-2008 school year, we're projecting that we're probably going to overspend our revenues. And we have, for 2008-2009, passed a excess referendum. So it's basically we're looking to handle the cash flow for this 1 year difference. So we're asking to transfer 70 from capital outlay to the operating fund.
Superintendent, could you give us how many students do you have?
The K-8 in Ballaton is 55 students.
55, okay. Okay, and Mr. Nauman, anything that you...
Mr. Chairman, traditionally we have not carried a fiscal impact on transfers of this particular type from the operating capital account to the undesignated general fund balance.
Very good. Any questions that members have? What do you have? What amount do you have in your capital operating account?
There's about $150,000.
All right. Okay, Senator Wieger, do you want to just
move? Yes.
Senator Wieger moves the...
Move the bill for a possible inclusion?
Yeah, we're just going to lay this on the table. So, okay, Senator Wieger moves that Senate File 2514 be laid on the table.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you very much for hearing our bill.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Frederickson, and thank you, Superintendent. And Senator Tomasoni, I see, is here.
Mr. Chairman, while Senator Tomasoni is coming up,
Mr. Nauman,
with your indulgence, I'll mention that we're moving quickly on some of these fund transfer bills, and some of the later introductions have not yet had completed fiscal impacts. So in some cases where we would expect a fiscal impact or at least a levy impact, we won't have those numbers today.
What you're saying, Mr. Melvin, is that we don't have all of the information yet.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay. All right. Senator Tomasoni and Mr. Dicklich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Senate File 3249 is a request for a fund transfer for the Virginia School District. They've got some problems with a wall that's bowing out, and some structural engineers have taken a look at it and said it's rather dangerous, and they've actually closed off that area of the school and had to move some of the kids to other parts of the school temporarily until they get it fixed. And the request for this fund transfer is so that they can actually fix the wall and for the safety of the school. And I think that's it in a nutshell, but I don't know if Mr. Dicklich can add anything to that or not.
Mr. Dicklich?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Ron Dicklich, Range Association, Municipalities and Schools. I'm here for the superintendent today who's having a medical procedure done. And because of the industrial activity in that area over the years, that there's been a lot of impact from the blasting of nearby taconite operations. And about 3-4 weeks ago, they noticed one of the walls bowled, so they brought in a structural engineer who came in and said, you got to do something about that. In fact, I want the people out of here today. Of course, they're always very cautious. But the issue is, and I can get you the engineer's report for the file if you'd like. The issue is that they're kind of stuck. They don't have any money. You know, like all the rural schools with declining enrollment and the increase in property taxes, they don't really have the ability to raise that kind of money that quickly. So they're asking that this fund transfer out of the fund be allowed to be used for safety purposes, for making that building safe for occupancy.
Mr. Dicklich, are they how close to the school are they blasting?
Well, the MinTech operation is about 4 miles, and there's also Inland Steel, or now Metal Steel, is about 5 miles away. But it depends on where they are in the underground. Seems that it follows. We have a problem with a lot of our schools like that. The Mountain Iron School, in fact, they're talking now about building a new school and maybe a joint school with Virginia because of that same issue. Mountain Iron is a lot closer, about a mile and a half or 2 miles from their mining operation.
Mr. Chairman, Eveleth mine is actually moved right up to the highway on the south side of Virginia, and so they're basically surrounded. But just to give you an idea how this blasting stuff works, I live about 5 miles away from the Hibbing taconite operation. When they blast at 11 a.m. every Wednesday morning, my house shakes. So you can feel it from quite a ways away. And maybe that's why my basement leaks. I'm not sure.
He's hoping.
So actually, they could be mining. Maybe not underneath your house, or but they could be awfully close under the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, what the blasting engineers tell me is the deeper they go, for the first 20, 30 years, you're relatively close to the surface. In the old natural ore days, you'd go down 200 to 300 feet. But taconite, once you get this, it's stripped off, is relatively close. But now they've been mining for so long, they're going down and down. The more you go down, the more you get into the seams that... the seismographic, or whatever they call it.
There's no underground tunnels, but the vibrations that just flow through the ground, that's kind of what it is.
Mr. Dicklich.
In fact, Mr. Chairman, now that Senator Anderson is in the room, she can tell you how she actually got to push the plunger and blow up a dump at one of the mines when we went up there with the LCMR.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very cool.
Very powerful feeling.
Mr. Dicklich, do you know is the debt for the Virginia District, what shape that is? Is that paid off?
As far as I understand, and I get clarification for this, Mr. Chairman, as far as I know, they've paid off most of their bond. I don't believe they have any debt whatsoever, but there's money sitting in the debt service that was left over from when they had a bond issuance.
All right. Okay. Any questions that members have? This This will have a levy impact, but we'll get maybe if you could give us the information on the wall and the engineer's report, then we'll have. We don't have an actual fiscal note yet for this, but we'll get that as quickly as we can. So.
Mr. Chairman, I will get that for you.
All right. All right. Very good.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Scogin.
I'd move Senate File 3249 be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
All right. Senator Scogin moves that Senate File 3249 be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the omnibus or finance, education finance bill. All right. Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Laurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We've got Senate File 2868, which is another similar bill as the ones you seem to be hearing today. This is for District 2580, the East Central. I should say that this is the combined school district that combined with my alma mater, the Asco of Danes, which no longer exist. But my three kids do go to this school district, and they are currently in statutory operating debt and working very hard to get out of it. And this one-time fund transfer of up to $300,000 from the reserve for operating capital account to the undesignated general fund balance is part of the overall plan for getting out of debt and operating this school into the future. And so I've got Superintendent Jeff Pura with me here today, and also Todd Netsky from School Management Services, who is helping East Central work on their statutory operating debt plans to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Laurie. Who wants to go first?
I will. Being from Sandstone, the Jeff Pura, the other part of the consolidation, we tolerate ASCO.
When you say you're now both districts are combined.
Yes, it was the Asco of Danes allowed the Sandstone Panthers to come and join with us a long time ago.
We'll work that out.
I see that combination is working real well. Welcome. Go ahead, please.
Yes.
State your name for the record.
I'm Jeff Pira, the superintendent at East Central. The school district has been experiencing declining enrollment for the previous 6 years. We also built a brand new school with a capital loan, and because the capital loan demands maximum tax effort, we're unable to pass an operating levy. We went out to the public in December of 06 and were soundly defeated to raise our operating referendum. We can't raise additional operating dollars. The statutory operating debt plan requires that we make staff reductions. Last spring, we reduced our staff by $700,000. We had a work session last night where we planned another $250,000 in reductions. We have 780 students. We're really making an impact in our classrooms. And my school board is committed to maintaining small class sizes if possible. So with this fund transfer, that would help us move towards resolving our debt situation within the next 2 years.
Is you're currently in statutory operating debt?
Yes.
And is this part of the plan to get out? Or
no, it wasn't. It's an opportunity for us to address some more of our outstanding debt. We're $685,000 in debt at the end of fiscal year 07.
Okay. Can you just comment on the plan, on the statutory operating debt plan that...
In working with Dr. Spiker at the Department of Education, we developed our plan last August, which details that we need to make expenditure reductions each of the next 3 years and have a balanced budget each year of the statutory operating debt plan. The board is committed to making and holding to a balanced budget, which we will have this year. This fund transfer will allow us to accelerate our movement out of statutory operating debt.
So in a sense, this will become part of your plan if this goes
correct
through.
We can file an amended plan each year with the Department of Education.
Because this is like a one-time transfer, not kind of an ongoing.
Correct. We understand that.
The operating referendum that was defeated, will you be going out for another operating referendum or not?
The board has talked about that as a possibility. We were so soundly defeated, it was 760 to 150 the vote for because of the capital loan. Our taxpayers are taxed to the maximum effort under our capital loan, so they see their tax statement and realize that they can't afford anymore. And we're one of the poorest counties in Minnesota. We don't have an economic base that we can rely on to raise funds. Our biggest employer is the federal prison, and then the school district is second.
Is the when you did the capital loan, and this is more for my curiosity than anything, is the percent that the local, what's the percentage that the local taxpayers would pick up and the percentage that the state would put in?
Well, it's based on our market value, and as property taxes have gone up, we're paying at 28%. So we were happy when it changed from 32 to 28. But that still leaves us with a huge tax burden on our constituents.
Even with a 28%, which is in, for many districts, that's relatively low compared to what, you know, some districts it's 100% basically. But so the taxpayers still felt that they couldn't support the referendum.
Correct.
Do you have a lot of seasonal recreational property in your district?
Yes.
Okay, and so what happens there is that does not, none of that property basically helps you.
Correct. People come to the area to buy the land and then they use it for recreation, hunting, snowmobiling, okay. ATVs.
I should add the taxpayers in Pine County were also burdened with a $32 million court facility just last year as well, and so they're particularly put upon in these times, which I know played a role in a lot of the people's decisions. It was a very tough time.
Right. Okay. Mr. Norman?
No, Mr. Chairman, unless you wanted me to clarify the points about the maximum effort, I don't have any questions.
I think that'd be worth mentioning.
When a school district agrees to enter a maximum effort capital loan with the state, we are essentially using state bonding authority to build the building, and then the school district agrees to tax themselves to pay off the state at a rate that we set in law. Currently, that rate is at 28%. So it's not a traditional aid levy mix that members might be thinking about. It's an old program that was originally designed for growing school districts that would grow into a tax base. Traditionally, it's been used now as for poorer school districts that don't have the capacity to build their own buildings. So we lock in a rate, and they pay us that back. And hopefully, over time, the school district generates sufficient payback to pay off the bonds. Generally, that hasn't been the case, and the loan is forgiven after 50 years.
50. Do you currently have a referendum?
Yes, $126. It brings us about $120,000 per year.
Okay. All right. Any...
I should also add, I think that it's constructed in such a way that we should not have to carry any cost from the legislature to execute this.
Mr. Chairman, what Senator Lori is referring to is this similar to Senator Fredrickson's bill, too many S's in that sentence. This is a transfer from the operating capital account to the undesignated general fund, and we traditionally have not carried a cost on this impact. So although the fiscal note isn't done, I would not anticipate that there would be a cost for this item.
When school districts use the maximum effort loan, they have to levy 105%. So it's not just 100%, which would be, you know, supposedly balance out at zero. So the 105,
it is 105, isn't it? Mr. Chairman, I think you might be thinking of the debt service.
Oh, yes.
Program where we, to protect the bondholders against state, district-issued debt, we have that extra 5%. Mm-hmm. And that was similar to Senator Tomasoni's bill, where I think that 100,000 was left over from that extra 5% after the bonds have been paid off. We need to, as a committee, we need to have some assurance that the bonds have been paid off before we allow a district to make that transfer. But I think this is a different animal.
What I was thinking of is, where does the 300,000 come from? And, you know, in the case I think of, does any of the 300,000 come from, you know, well, tell us, where did the 300,000 actually come from?
It's up to 300,000. It's from our capital fund for maintaining our buildings and grounds facilities.
And then over time, that just bumped up to
correct.
We
have a school that's 4 years old, so our maintenance and facility needs are minimal at this time.
Okay. All right. Any other questions that members have? Senator Skolgen.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate file 2868 be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the E-12 education budget omnibus bill.
On Senator Skolgen's motion to lay this bill on the table, all those in, I think we'll just take a vote on the end because I think we have, I'm not sure if we have a quorum yet or not, but we shall do that. Yeah, file 2868 will be laid on the table. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you very much.
Let's see. Who else do we have? Senator Skolgen, were you going to step in for Senator Vickerman?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I was. Want to do that one next?
Yeah. Senate file 3344.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm sitting in for Senator Vickerman today, who was called away from the Capitol, and I offered to carry this for him today. We're going to do some work for Hills Beaver Creek. If you look on the map and throw a rock toward Iowa or South Dakota, you can hit either one from Hills Beaver Creek. They're like the last school district in the state of Minnesota in southwestern corner of the state. David Dergish is the superintendent of schools there and is with us today, and they are asking for a fund transfer as well, and I'll let him explain the reasons why.
Okay, thank you, Senator Skolgen. Welcome, Superintendent.
And welcome, and thanks for letting me come up here today.
Okay, if you could give your name for the record and then just go ahead.
My name is David Dergish, and I'm the superintendent from Hills Beaver Creek. And I'm just here to request the transfer of funds from two different funds for Hills Beaver Creek District. We're a very small school district. We have a total of 325 students in K through 12. We're battling, I think, like any other small school district is, with funds and resources. We're getting very close to the statutory operating debt, and we're trying to stay out of that situation. Our request is to take $260,000 from our disabled access and use $196,000 of that to move it to the reserved account for health and safety, and then $64,000 of that and move it to the undesignated general fund balance without making a levy reduction. Also, we're asking to transfer $100,000 from our operating capital, once again, to the undesignated general fund balance.
Okay. Can you, how large a student population do you have?
We have 325 students, kindergarten through 12th grade.
And is the Hills Beaver Creek, is that the... A consolidation?
Yes, actually, we were the first school district in the state of Minnesota to consolidate, and the consolidation was made back in 1965.
We've seen a number of these disabled access transfers over the years, and. And I also ask, well, have you taken care of most of the requirements or things that you need to do for the disabled access?
I'll just give you a brief synopsis. Our building was built in 1921 at the high school, and we are constantly battling access problems. Recently, we have moved our science lab from the third floor to the first floor because we don't have an elevator. That was a cost of $26,660. We put in a men's and a women's handicapped accessible bathrooms. If you can think of a 1921 school, they didn't have accessible bathrooms. We did that, and that cost $68,823. We put ramps in. We knocked out storage areas in a couple of spots so we could ramp our building instead of taking steps going up from one level to the next. It's about five steps. We actually poured concrete and we have ramps put in. Our locker rooms for a gymnasium were underneath the gym. You take the 15 steps going straight down. We actually had a small addition and we put in a new locker room facility for our school district, and that was at the tune of about $500,000. So, yes, we have spent, I think, the money for disabled access.
So I'm unclear as to, it sounds as if you did all the things that you wanted to do with your disabled access ability. Are there other things that you need to do or not?
Well, and to answer your question very easily, we need a new school is what happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we're just trying to Band-Aid our present facility until we get to that point.
So the question is that... If you take the money out of disabled access account, and you know, for most of us who are unfamiliar with your school, does that mean that you won't have money available to do anything else in the disabled access area, or? I mean, it seemed like you mentioned you did quite a bit. I mean,
we have done considerable amount of work starting the 1996-97 school year. You know, so we've been doing work. And what's happened here is the superintendent before myself and then also myself is to be blamed. You know, we put the cart before the horse. We do the work before we get the permission from the Department of Ed for the funding. So we have this $260,000 in an account where we actually have performed the work for the building, for the updates of the building.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roblin?
So some of the money will be going from the disabled, the Fund for Disability Access to the health and safety account. And what will that be used for?
Okay, that's we have spent that. That's just to balance out a negative balance in our health and safety account. You know, we have earmarked, you know, money, you know, from the health and safety account, and we do have a negative balance in that account.
Senator Bonoff?
Mr. Chair, why do you have a negative balance in that account?
Because when you
Superintendent,
when you code, you know, what your expenditures are for, we have coded them for health and safety expenditures, and we didn't have the money for health and safety, you know, there, so that we ended up using general fund dollars to support that.
Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, Superintendent, it seems as though there's some problem with the general accounting that's gone on, it that money is spent without having the money in the account, and that this is a response to that problem. And so I'm concerned about the overall account management structure. And so I'm concerned that if we make this, then are we continuing the problem? What steps are you taking to rectify the way that you're spending money?
Yes, I think you are correct. And we have gone through a pretty extensive series of with the auditor, sitting down with the auditor, getting the corrections taken care of. And I feel very comfortable with, you know, what has happened in the last couple of years.
Does let's see. So the health and safety account will be out of the red with this legislation, and there will
Mr. Chairman, is a little context helpful?
We would basically have about $164,000 put into our unreserved undesignated fund.
Mr. Nauman.
Mr. Chairman, in the mid-90s, we authorized the health, the disabled access levy, and that was for every school district in the state to deal with disabled access needs. Districts were given, I believe it was 8 years and a cap of $100,000 unless they were a consolidated district, in which case the cap was $300,000. To levy for disabled access needs. It went into this account, and districts were then required to pay for disabled access needs of their facilities from that revenue source. I'd say in the last 4 or 5 years, the chairman has made reference to this, we've had a variety of bills that come before us and say perhaps a district has built a new building so they don't have disabled access needs, but yet they still have this fund sitting there for that purpose. So the committee historically has said, have you got all your disabled access needs taken care of, and are you anticipating any others before passing the bill to give authority to transfer the money out? So that's how you've traditionally thought about it.
There's adequate money in the disabled access account to do the 196 $1,000 transfer to the health and safety account, and the to make the $64,000 let me see here.
We're asking for a transfer of $260,000 from our disabled access account. $196,000 of that would be to the health and safety account, and $64,000 of that would be to our undesignated general fund balance.
Okay. And then the $100,000 transfer from the capital operating to the general fund.
That's correct.
So, Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Nolan,
similar to the Fredrickson bill that we saw previously, the operating capital transfer would not generate a fiscal impact or a levy impact. However, the disabled access provisions would generate a levy impact. The way this would traditionally work is the department would, if the district certified that to the department that they had completed their disabled access needs, they would essentially issue a credit against future certified levies, and the levies would go down by that amount, and that account would be zeroed out. So accounting-wise, we assume that that's what the district is saying by asking for a bill like this, that they no longer have disabled access needs. And we would carry a levy impact of 196 and 64 for those two separate transfers. You would carry them as two separate transfers.
That is correct.
And the assumption is that all of the handicap accessibility needs are taken care of.
That's correct also.
All right. Okay. Everybody understand what's going on? Probably the last one, but okay, Senator Scogin.
Mr. Chair, if there's no further questions, I'd move that Senate File 3344 be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Omnibus E12 budget bill.
All right, Senator Scogin moves that we do have a quorum, members, so. That 3344, Senate File 3344, be laid on the table for possible inclusion. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted.
Thank you very much.
Members, I think what we'll do is we'll go back and do these, the other bills too that we have on Senate File 2514. Senate File 20, that's Senator Fredrickson's bill. Senator Lori's bill 2868 and Senator Tomasoni's bill 3249. Senator Olson moves those bills be laid on the table for possible inclusion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted. Next, Senator Lynch, I think, is here. So, Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Welcome.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm here with Senate File 2801. And this is, I'm here today because this bill is seeking to make a technical correction. In fact, this was an issue that was before us last session, and we have been made aware that there the technical error made in the actual drafting of the legislation. And in essence, what this does is the department gave the Plainview Elgin Millville School District an aid adjustment, but did not take into account the corresponding levy adjustment. And that was the intent of the legislation as it was discussed, and this was brought to our attention by staff, and consequently, I'm here today to see that we can
should be
for the district.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Lynch. Is Mr. Melcher here?
Mr. Chairman, perhaps a little bit of context as Mr. Melcher is coming up. This was a provision that was included in the House K-12 finance bill last year and then was adopted into the final act. And as I understand the issue, the Plainview Elgin Millville School District consolidated, and they, the combined district had a higher penalty on the community education fund. And this is a penalty where we pull back, the state pulls back money if their fund balance is in excess of 25%. The combined district exceeded that. And so the attempt was to give them some special dispensation because of that consolidation. In drafting the law, we should have drafted revenue instead of aid, so that what happened was the department gave them back that overage on the aid side, but not the levy side. And so I think that the point of this bill is to correct that oversight. How have I done, Mr. Melcher?
Mr. Melcher?
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Nauman, that's exactly right. That I think the intent was to allow the district to not have the fund balance penalty at all, but because the language was written to just relieve them of the aid portion of that, the department felt obligated to continue with the levy portion until the legislation reflected that we should also not make the levy adjustment.
Okay. Mr. Melcher, does the effective date, is the effective date following final enactment, does that take care of it, or should it be retroactive back to the date of the?
Mr. Chairman, we normally use this language about the day following final enactment to mean that we go ahead and make the correction immediately. So I think that's
okay.
That's typically how these are written. I think this works.
Oh, I see. Yeah, actually, the last sentence addresses what I was thinking about. Must be included as part of the district's property taxes for taxes payable in 2009. Okay. All right.
Question. Sorry about that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is just a question. When that happens, then would those two school districts do a fund balance transfer so that we don't leave that money sitting in that fund balance?
Mr. Nauman?
Mr. Chairman, I think that's at the discretion of the district. I think they we do this transfer on a one-time. We're giving them the dispensation on a one-time basis. So it would certainly behoove the district not to get caught in the same trap by either spending the money down or making accounting adjustments. So
thank you. That's my question, if they get to keep it that way.
Senator Lynch, do you have an idea how large this district is?
Mr. Chair, it's a relatively small school district, and one of the reasons that I felt compelled to come with this today is because this district worked so hard and for so long on this consolidation, and was, as you can imagine, a difficult situation for all of the communities involved. They have a couple of hundred students in their graduating class. It's a relatively small school district.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just because it's a small district, the integrity of those small districts is still pretty personal.
Yeah.
So, all right. Actually, it looks like three districts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That have been combined.
Right. So we need to carry money back. But it's small.
There will be a levy impact, but it's relatively modest. So, Senator Roebling, you want to move?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that Senate File 2801 be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Okay. Is there any questions or members have? On Senator Roebling's motion on Senate File 2801, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same side. Motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members.
Senator Wieger,
yeah.
You want to? I think we only have two left. Three left?
Not yet.
Oh, Senator Clark, I didn't see her here. Senator Wieger.
Mr. Chair, division members, Senate File 2371 was before you last session, and this simply would allow a school district which operates and maintains an ice arena to levy for the net actual costs of the operation of that arena. Currently, it's at 90%. When we faced the deficit in 2003, it went from 100% to 90%. In 2005, we made some corrections in statute to go back to 100%, but for lease property, but we did not extend this to ice arenas. We're talking about nine school districts, and those nine, briefly, would be Bemidji, Rosemont, Red Wing, Wayzata, International Falls, North St. Paul, Maplewood Oakdale, White Bear Lake, Roseau, and Hermantown. For information, one of the arenas in a district that I represent, that arena was built, Polar Arena, by volunteers and donated to the school district for $1, which was needed for the transaction. We have a fiscal note, and you'll see at page 2 that nearly $1 million is levied now. This, in going to 10%, would have an impact in fiscal 10 of $110,000, and fiscal 11, $116,000. I do have a witness from the school district, Dennis Sullivan, who was here last time when we visited, and he'd like to give a brief statement in support of the legislation.
Thank you, Senator Wieger. And I, as the gentleman comes up, want to remind members that this was a result of 2003.
Mr. Chairman, yes, that's correct.
In 2003, when we made cutbacks in education, a lot of different programs were cut back. One of the several of the things that were cut back were, or one of the things was that we would only recognize 90% of the levy, and so 10% affected the ice arena or the ice or I guess it's called the arena levy, isn't it? Anyway, we also had a unemployment, which we got rid of. We had, what else were the levies?
Mr. Chairman, there were a whole collection of them. Swimming pool levies.
Swimming pool. Trees?
The tree levy, and I think the building. No, it was not the building levy. Perhaps Mr. Melcher remembers better than I. I think there were about five or six levies, some of which we've restored subsequently, mm-hmm. In sort of a piecemeal fashion. but the idea was we were making aid cuts on the aid side, converting some of that to levies, so the levies were expanding. And to control the expansion of the levies in that particular year, we made a 90% effective the school districts could recognize only 90% of the levy cost.
And I think this is the last one that we have left. Am I correct, Mr. Melcher?
Mr. Chairman and members, Tom Melcher with the Department of Education. Yes, I believe this is the last one that has not been fully restored. And I don't recall all the categories, but I think the one that's the most comparable would be the building lease levy, where the majority of school districts are leasing ice time for an arena that somebody else owns, and they're now able to recover 100% of that cost, where in this case the districts that own their own arenas and are levying for the cost of operations, the net cost of operations, are only still able to recover the 90%. So there's kind of an equity issue there.
Senator Olson.
So, Mr. Chairman, then they had to use the general fund for covering the other 10%.
Yep, exactly.
So, yeah.
You got it down to the last one. So please give your name for the record. And go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Dennis Sullivan. I'm the Director of Business Services, North St. Paul, Maplewood, Oakdale School District. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak to you this morning. Most of what I was going to say just got said. In terms of the background of this issue, I was here last year asking for this relief. For me, it was simply an equity issue. The regular lease levy had been restored. I believe that because there were only nine, I believe, districts that currently own their own ice arenas, there probably wasn't a lot of discussion about this issue. I thought it was important to bring it forward. In our district, it's not a big money item. This year, it's about $1,900. It would have resulted for us had we had this 10%. But in years when we have major renovations to our arena, the amount could be significantly higher. And we don't want to spend instructional dollars on these kinds of items if we don't have to. And so restoring this to its full 100% would be helpful to us to allow us to spend our general education revenue for the students. And so I would ask you to consider this and hopefully restore it to its 100%. Thank you.
Senator Salzman.
And on your description, Mr. Chair, I think it's important to note that when many of these districts entered into these agreements, it was a different way. And so I think to be able to restore that, I think the decision was made that we should honor that and restore these levies to the full 100%. So I'm very pleased to be a co-author on this bill.
Okay. Thank you, Senator, and thank you, Mr. Sullivan. Any questions that members have? Senator Wieger?
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate File 2371 be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the E-12 budget bill.
Senator Wieger moves that Senate File 2371 be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the K-12 education funding bill. Any other discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Wieger. Senator Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In front of you, I've set a file 2379 compared to a couple of the other ones that the committee has discussed so far today. This should be pretty simple and straightforward. This bill is a disability access account transfer to the Macquarie High School District. And I'm going to have Superintendent Scott Staska talk about this in a moment. But what essentially has happened here is that the district has completed all their access questions and issues. So this is the amount of money that's left after they've dealt with those things. And they're looking for the ability to transfer this to essentially for one-time capital. But Mr. Staska could talk a little bit more about that.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Clark. Superintendent?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Macquarie District is a district.
If you could just give your name. For
my name is Scott Staska, Superintendent of Schools at the Macquarie District.
Thank you.
The Macquarie District is a district just outside of St. Cloud. We have just under 2,200 students as a school district. Most of our facilities are in fairly good shape, and most of them are single-level buildings. As you heard earlier, typically, districts had been allowed about $100,000 in ADA funds, but because we're a consolidated district, we had about $300,000 available to us. We levied actually for a little bit over $200,000, and we have $82,000 remaining, and we're asking to transfer that into capital funds.
Okay. Members, this one has a small levy impact.
Mr. Chairman, we actually have a fiscal note on this, but it's exactly as we've talked about before. We assume that the superintendent has already testified that they've completed their disabled access needs. So, absent this bill, they would state that to the department, which would then make an adjustment on their future levies. So that would create a cost to our bill on the levy side of $82,000.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson?
Mr. Chairman, the superintendent said that you were asking to transfer from the disabled account to the capital account, but the bill says to the general fund, which the undesignated general fund balance. Which is it?
Superintendent?
You know, the bill says general fund. We would be intending to use it for three capital projects.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Nauman?
It's somewhat, I mean, we can be more specific, as Senator Olson has specified, but if it's in the undesignated general fund, the school district is free to use it. They can use it for that purpose if they choose. So we can certainly be more specific, as we have in other places, but I'm not sure it's exactly necessary.
Well, Mr. Chair, it's essentially from one capital purpose to another, which may be cleaner. It worked easier to argue. Although that may not be necessary because you're
there anyway. Okay. Any questions that members have?
Matt? Yeah, I'd like to.
Senator Clark?
Well, and Mr. Chair, just very quickly, I think that this shows yet another example about how districts are trying to be resourceful in tight financial times. The Recorey School District had attempted for a number of years to do any type of either capital or operating levies and was finally successful this last year on an operating levy, but frankly, it's still woefully inadequate. They went for a pretty small one, and if we're able to give them an ability to
go that direction,
So to that end, I'd move Senate File 2397.
Hey, Senator Clark moves Senate File 2397 to be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Education Finance Bill. Any questions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted. Do you want to?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, could I ask
Senator Scogin?
Senator, could I ask Mr. Nauman a question?
What, Senator Scogin?
Just regarding formulas, why was there a fiscal impact on that one and not on the one that I presented for Senator Bickerman?
Here, Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Nauman,
and Senator Scogin, there was for the one that you presented for Senator Bickerman, there were three transfers included in that bill. Two that were coming out of the disabled access, and those two did in fact carry. If included in the final bill, we would carry a levy impact for those.
You just didn't show today. Is that?
Perhaps I'm anticipating too far. Yes, you're right. We don't have a completed fiscal note yet. I'm speaking about what I would anticipate. So,
okay.
Yes,
so there
exactly.
would be one.
There would
for
be.
That. Okay.
There would be two impacts combined for $260,000 out of the disabled access, and then the operating capital piece would not carry a cost on Senator Vickerman's.
Thank you.
Okay.
Just wasn't done.
Senator Stump.
Thank you, Senator Vaughn. This is the last bill that we have, and this is in my district. Lancaster is a small community up in Kitson County, which is in the northwest corner of the state, and just about as far away from the capital as any place in the state. Not sure exactly what's the mileage from Kellogg.
It's around
350 miles roughly. So it's a hike. These good people are from that community and came down last night. So the bill will come up in the House this afternoon. So they're kind of getting a two for one today. But what happened up in the that community, Hallock had was it a consolidation or a pairing?
They moved their campus to Hallock.
What happened up there is that the larger school district, which is in Hallock, we actually had three districts, Humboldt and Kennedy and Hallock, and a few years ago they kind of combined, and then last year there was a referendum last year the Hallock School District decided to close the school, which was in Kennedy, which was used for elementary students, and have all of the students come into Hallock, which is the larger school. The impact that it had was had repercussions in Lancaster, which was what 15 miles, roughly 15 miles from Hallock. it triggered a reduction when that occurred. That automatically triggered a reduction in their sparsity aid in Lancaster, because sparsity aid is measured by distances of miles between communities. So when they moved the students, the elementary students, to Hellock, all of a sudden Lancaster lost sparsity aid in that transaction. And so this happened so late in the year that they basically threw their budget out of whack. And the exact amount is, I believe, roughly
361.
What was it? 81,000. Roughly about $80,000. So here, the school, Lancaster School District, was operating very nicely, and all of a sudden they get this whack from something that came in or happened outside of their district. And so what this legislation would do would be to make the Lancaster School District, because it's a very small district, whole in terms of this impact on them. And Mr. Nauman probably has a better explanation of exactly how that sparsity aid works, but it was just kind of an incidental side effect of a combination of two districts up there. And it was kind of brought on totally inadvertently to what Lancaster was doing. So,
Senator Stump, I have a question. Maybe it'll take Mr. Nauman to answer that. But so you've mentioned the Humboldt, Hellock, and Kennedy as combining, and yet Lancaster was not part of that consolidation. And so could you just say a few words about the formula that would mean that Lancaster is actually their sparsity amount depends on what's happening over in this remote part of the district?
Madam Chair and members, the way the sparsity formula, in this case the elementary sparsity formula, works, it's a formula keyed to your elementary school proximity relative to a neighboring elementary school proximity. So by closing a school in one district and moving it to a different part of the district, that functionally made Lancaster, to the formulas, less sparse, even though Lancaster had made no changes. So the theory behind the bill is that the Lancaster district on the formulas is now less sparse than it was before. So the bill attempts to deal with that on a and it's not a perfect solution, because what we're doing is giving them some additional money off the transition revenue program as opposed to sparsity. An alternative approach would be to adjust the entire sparsity formula, which would have effect in other school districts as well. Attempting to avoid that that problem, we deal with it on the transition revenue program.
And Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, and we wonder why people tear their hair out at our formulas.
Yeah, I know.
The simplicity, the sensibility of them. We ought to be able to do better than this.
Senator Olson, I agree. Senator Saltzman.
Madam Chair, I think this points to the importance of the work that you're doing with the School Funding Reform Task Force, that these categoricals have sort of been used. I mean, they're past their life, that we really need to look at how we increase the basic formula so there is less reliance on these categoricals that sometimes are just outdated, and how they impact school center stuff. I mean, this is really hard for this district, so I understand the need to address it. But if we could provide school districts with a greater basic formula, then we wouldn't have these sorts of situations, perhaps, because schools become dependent on categoricals because they don't have resources within their basic formula.
Madam Chair and,
yes, Senator Stump,
and members, there is a problem, and this is maybe sidetracking it a little bit, but there is a problem in trying to raise the formula high enough to for small schools. Small schools are, and this morning we heard from a number of different small schools, but small schools, you'd have to have the formula significantly higher to compensate for programs like Sparsity and some of these other ways that we funnel money into school districts. And that's a challenge I think all of us will have to try to address, because you could put, you know, $500 on the formula, and it wouldn't in many cases help small schools very much at all, because in many of these districts with declining enrollment, you raise the formula and you lose, you know, maybe 3 to 5% of your students, and you still end up with less money. And so you have to have, there's got to be a different mechanism for funding those small remote school districts. You got to, somehow the state's got to recognize the operating costs, even though it can be very basic, you still need a certain amount of money to operate. And that's, I think, the challenge that small schools have. If you have a larger school, one that has enough volume, they have different challenges. But in small schools, I really think that we got to come up with a way to build in some kind of a operating cost of basic programs and assure those districts that that'll be there. Once we seem to be satisfied with the Sparsity or the, you know, the number of districts out there. And there's probably some places that can still consolidate. I think up in our area, we went through consolidations and combinations and things like that, you know, 20 years ago. Whereas I think in southern Minnesota, there's probably still a lot of districts, smaller districts that, you know, are fairly close to other districts. 25 miles.
Yeah, Madam Chair, George Hansen, Lancaster School Board.
Yeah,
just
Mr. Hansen.
Comment on Senator Stump. In our district, if we were to consolidate with either of our bordering districts, either east or west, we're limited, obviously, by the Canadian border. Our most remote students would have probably an hour and a half one-way bus ride in the morning and then repeat that again in the afternoon, just to give you an idea of how wide open we are up there.
And how long of bus ride do your students have now?
About 1 hour is our longest.
Round trip or one way, Mr.
One
Johnson?
Way.
Wow. Senator Saltzman.
Right. So to that point, Madam Chair, and Senator Stump, I want to assure you that in my comments, I totally understand that we have to address a small school. So just to say the basic formula alone is enough, but I think that at this table, having these kind of conversations make us aware of, you know, we know our own districts, but what are the challenges of smaller schools? Because we've got to make sure those children achieve as well as the children in like our urban centers. So, but I think the formula isn't working for anyone, and I think the Sparsity isn't serving the smaller schools either. So I think we've had discussions on what do we want to see within our schools. And what does it cost to do those kind of things as opposed to a formula that may not even address the needs? So I fully support your concerns. I just want to assure you I'm not trying to undermine Sparsity. It's just that is that the way we should be funding our smaller schools? Decline enrollment is obviously an issue as well. So,
Madam Chair, maybe we could hear from some of the people.
Senator Olson just had one more comment before we move on. Go ahead.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm just saying there may still need to be some unique, some formulas, the categorical type formulas, but at the very least, they shouldn't be driven by circumstances totally outside of one's control, that a decision in another school district somehow leaves you holding the bag. That we ought to be able to come up with something better than that.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Stump.
Madam Chair, I would just like to invite some testimony from our friends up in Lancaster.
My name is Julie Shostrand. I'm the Lancaster Board Chair. And I brought with me today George Hansen, Lancaster Board, and Brad Homestead, who's our superintendent from Lancaster.
Madam Chair, committee members, thank you for allowing us to present our information. Senate Bill 2678 is extremely important to Lancaster School District. We are not asking for new funding. We are asking to replace our elementary sparsity aid with transition aid. Elementary sparsity aid generates 3.7% of our annual revenue. Losing elementary sparsity aid will do irreparable damage to our fund balance. Our elementary sparsity will be wiped out because a neighboring school district passed a referendum to close their elementary school in Kennedy and move those students to the Hallock site. So through no inaction or action on our part, we will lose our elementary sparsity aid. Regarding state funding, we talked to Mr. Tom Melcher and Mr. Bob Porter, directors of program finance at the Minnesota Department of Education, and neither could ever recall a situation like ours, and we are asking to be held harmless. Lancaster Public School is not your average rural Minnesota school. This is a quality school in every sense of the word. Our graduation rate exceeds 94%, and our attendance rate exceeds 95%. In the past 15 months, our school has received numerous awards, state and nationally. We received a Minnesota Senate Award for Excellence in Education. We received Governor Pawlenty's Governor's Fit School Award, and we are also notified by U.S. News and World Report that we have been identified as one of the very best high schools in the United States. In fact, we were in the top 6% nationally. Criteria for these awards included MCA and BST test results for all students, including all special populations, district curriculum, classroom activities, and college readiness of graduates. Our local taxpayers have already dug deep into their pockets. Currently, we have two referendums on the books. Together, they total $1,688 per pupil unit. Over 50% of our families qualify for free or reduced meals, so I don't know if our taxpayers can be burdened further. We live in a sparsely populated area of the state. Our county's population density is only 4.8 people per square mile. Including open enrollment students, our enrollment area is 456 square miles, 42% of the entire county. Our five regular bus routes travel almost 500 miles daily. If our school did not exist, those students on our eastern boundary would have to travel over 45 miles to get to their new school. That would amount to 1.5-hour bus ride one way. This really is a huge part of our budget. We are a high-functioning school. Our local taxpayers have dug deep. We aren't asking for additional dollars. Please keep our current level of funding in place. Please hold us harmless. Thank you for your consideration of Senate Bill 2678.
Ms. Sjostrand, thank you for coming all this way, and congratulations on such an outstanding school district and receiving those awards.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, Madam Chair, Superintendent Brad Homestead. It really is a unique school in many ways. Our kids do very well. We've invested heavily into technology, been very proactive that way. We have a lot of kids that come to our school through that open enrollment program. It really is unique, but it's a different part of the state. You know, when we traveled from northern Minnesota yesterday down here, a lot of things changed for us. And the main thing is, as far as with us, our kids would have to ride an hour and a half if our school no longer existed, and that's one way. That's just not acceptable in any way, shape, or form. So, Madam Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Olson. Hansen,
yes. Senator Stump's going to embarrass me now.
Yeah. a few of you, certainly Senator Olson, remembers, former State Senator Marv Hansen served here in the Senate up until 1982, I believe.
Yeah.
In 1982, I replaced Senator Marv Hansen at that time. And so George is Marv Hansen's son.
Welcome to the committee.
I was looking the other day. The last time I was here, I had blonde curly hair, and I was at a bill signing, and I think I was the only one under 5 there. Maybe the only one under 50. I don't know. No, thank you, Madam Chair and committee. I'm really encouraged by the discussions that you're having about our specific issue and how it's, you know, a problem for the rest of the state. I think that right now we're maybe the first ones that are encountering this kind of an issue, but But I would suspect that without change in the funding formula that you will see more of this. And I think, like Senator Stumpf said and other members of our district have indicated, just the actual distances are getting so large that, you know, without some sort of new transportation technology, it's going to be a challenge to consolidate further, you know, without some sort of new idea in how to educate kids and move them around. The distances are just getting too large. And so I hope and I would encourage you to keep looking into the issue and try to find a solution for that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Stumpf, could you address the way that this would be paid for in terms of the aid and levy and if whether or not the levy portion is going to be a problem for the community?
Mr. Chairman, remember, that does actually bring up a little bit of an issue, too. The aid portion is very clear. This Sparsity was previously is an all-aid program. Transition revenue is an aid and levy program. So the district, under the old environment, before the school was moved, was receiving this $81,000, $82,000 all in state aid. Under this bill, they would be required to levy for a portion of it because transition revenue is a mix of aid and levy. We have a completed fiscal note on it. It's about $54,000 of it in 2009 is going to be state aid, and roughly $22,000 is going to be imposed off the levy. However, we can't, to get the district the money in fiscal year 2009, which is next year, the district will probably have to do a double levy in fiscal year 2010 because we always look 2 years out on the levies. And I was just visiting with Dr. Melcher about this, and it probably would behoove us to come up with some language to clarify that they have the authority to do a double levy on a one-time basis. Subsequent years, it's very clear. Mr. Chairman, or Madam Chair, you just asked the question if we could give the district the revenue in all state aid, and we would have to do something even more unique than we're already doing. If we're running it through the program, it's a mix of aid and levy. If you want to give it to them all in state aid, we'd have to create something new for that purpose.
Senator Stumpf, I don't know how you feel about it, but it seems as though it's still a little unfair because this was a state aid program, and now, although we're attempting with this bill to fix it, we're not totally fixing it because we're still then going back to the taxpayers to make up that difference. And so I'm not an expert on the mechanics of how to do that, but it seems like if we were really doing what was right, we would deal with it in the same manner. Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chair, do you suppose if we get things ironed out up there in Kitson County on the use of ATVs to get around to your property and so on, that might relieve some of the property owners' frustration and then they wouldn't take it out on you if they have to pay a little more property tax? I've been trying to work on that, by the way.
Senator Stone.
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, I think we would be overjoyous if we could solve that problem.
Oh. Mr. Chair, one of your residents, who also is a constituent of mine in Western Hennepin County, appeared at my door one Sunday morning with the Kitson County paper in hand and all the frustration. And I've been up there, and I know I've visited in these areas and ridden on the ATVs, and I have total sympathy with the challenge that you're facing. And if there's anything I can do to collude and try to help get it resolved, I'm more than willing.
And Senator Stump, Mr. Nauman has assured me that we could just lay this on the table and he could work on that problem.
ATVs?
Madam Chair, a good point was brought up about in order to make it work, we do need some language about the, if we do this way, we do need some language about the ability to levy, double levy in 2009.
Yes, and Mr. Nauman has some other ideas as well.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move Senate File 2678 to be recommended to be included in the Omnibus Education Bill and laid on the table.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion passed.
Thank you,
Senator Stump, any other announcements about tomorrow before we adjourn?
I would refer to Mr. McHenry.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, sorry. Tomorrow we're going to be listening to some bills dealing with the best practices. So we'll have the Humanity Center and the Historical Society, also the Principals Leadership Institute. And then some early ed accounts. We'll be looking at a Senator Rummel bill with developmental screening, and then Torres Reyes an adult basic education bill.
Committee adjourned.
All right.
Thank you.
Right.
Thanks. It was-